would like to welcome anybody that's here this morning for the first time. I think I recognize everyone, but and I'm sure you know by now who I am. But I can't tell you how much honor and privilege it is to be able to stand before you this morning. It's amazing how God uses us, how he would use someone like me for this. I have no idea, but God is faithful. God knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. He's always there for us. And I just base so much upon that word faith and trust. We sometimes have to step out in faith and trust many times, and trust him many times in this life. So they're very important parts of our Christian walk. Anybody got any guess on what I'm preaching on this morning? Well, I gave some a lot of prayer and thought on it, and at prayer on Tuesday night, a Tuesday morning, I should say, fitting, there was a suggestion from Devon that it would be nice to have a sermon on prayer. And my first thought was, yeah, that'd be okay, but you know, most everybody knows what prayer is and how to pray. And it was amazing when I got into the Word and studying. I learned a lot. And so, again, just proves what God's Word can do if he puts it on our heart. So we're going to be talking about prayer this morning. The actual scripture, probably mostly from Luke 11, 5 and 13, but I'm jumping around quite a bit because there's so many Bible verses that pertain so much to this, and it really proves what an instruction book this is to us in our lives in everything. One of the first things I'd like to emphasize really is, and I read this, and prayer is a dialogue between God and his people. It is an intimate encounter with the living Lord, the Creator, and our great Shepherd. It is a gift from the Holy God. It is a gift. Prayer definitely is a gift. Like so many of the gifts that he gives us, and he gives us those gifts for what? To use. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things." I think a take from that is, yeah, he'll show you great and mighty things, but also, I think it goes along, God loves to talk to us. He really does love to talk to us. And so I think about that here in the Old Testament tells us Israel is a nation of prayer. In Genesis 12, 1, 3, Abraham conversed with God. And think about that. He conversed with God a little bit different way that we do now. I can only imagine being at work at something and I hear this voice say, "Harlan, I want to talk to you." And basically that's what happened with him. But in Hosea 7:14, the writing prophets noted that genuine prayer called for accompanying moral and social accountability. Very important in a prayer life. Go along with that is how we live our lives. A good example, and a lot of you know, I'm sure, up on your Bible, is, you know, we talk about praying from the Bible, and the Bible can teaches us everything that we need to know as a Christian. But if you read Psalms 86 is a great example of that. It provides an excellent demonstration for a pattern for prayer. And Daniel 6:10 teaches daily pattern prayer is very important. No matter how eloquent or simple the prayer, God knows our hearts. It's amazing. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't. And you know, when we talked about the Holy Spirit sometimes intervenes for us and says the words that we're trying so desperately to get out. So we don't have to worry about that. God knows our hearts. But why is prayer so important to God's children? Why is it so important to have a daily prayer pattern? I always look at it this way. If God I know that he does. He tells me he does. He loves me the way he loves me. And in this world, with all the things that are going on, I need every ounce of help that I can get. And going back to what it says in Hosea is moral and social accountability. We are morally and socially accountable to God. And so therefore, again, I need to start out my day with, Lord, please show me what you want for me today. Please help me, Lord, so that I may do things according to your will. So I really think it's very important. I don't know, people have different times, some in the morning, some at the end of the day. I don't know, I like to start mine at the end of the day because I don't want to get started off on the wrong foot for the day. But anyway, a question we might ask is, why is prayer so important to God's children? And I believe, as the scripture teaches us, we need to have a good personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that is so important. If we're going to live our lives according to the way the scriptures tell us and teach us, and we're going to come to the Lord and expect him to listen to us, we need to have a good relationship with him so that we approach him in the right way. We get to a point where it gets so imprinted in us that everything that we do, we need to depend on the Lord for. Because in reality, we do. That's the way it is. And so we need to always keep that in our mind, that from everything, all the way down to the air that we breathe, it all comes from him. Okay. Our very lives depend on him. And it was interesting, the things you hear sometimes. It's a comment I was listening to. Someone once said, your belief system is the comfort for your life. Man, that really hit me. You know that how true that is? Your belief system is determined by your prayer life. Take it from me. It really is. So much is believed that what we do and how we conduct ourselves is what we think and how we believe things. And we definitely need help with that. Okay. We need to have faith in the promises of God and come to him with a pure heart. We talked about pure heart before when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, but why is it so important we come to God, before God, with a pure heart? I think everybody probably understands. We can't be bearing any sin in our heart. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to point those sins out to us, and we need to confess those sins. We need to come to him with a pure heart, because we all know God hates sin. And what do you think he's going to do? We come with a heart full of sin. So we need to always make confession, recognizing and confessing our sins so important in our lives as we approach God. Okay, prayer is something that we learn to do. You agree with that? Something that we do learn to do. We're not born knowing how to pray. We're not even born again knowing how to pray. We, like the disciples, must learn how to pray. You remember from your Bible studies that situation with the disciples when Jesus was praying? What did they ask him? Lord, teach us how to pray. They recognized his close personal relationship with his Father, and the way that he approached his Father in prayer. They felt the inspiration from that, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to learn that. So we too need to learn about praying. Okay. One of the first and most difficult lessons we should learn about prayer regards praying according to God's will. You got your Bibles if you want to turn to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Otherwise, if it all goes well, it should be up on screen. All right, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Which tells us, This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what He has asked of what we know we have what we have asked of Him. Almost a tongue twister there. But you understand that? Let's talk about it a little bit. In John, God's making us a threefold promise. First, He promises to listen if we pray according to His will. And Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed. And that was such a important prayer. I'm gonna quick turn to that. I don't think we have it up there, but Luke 22:42 says, Luke 22:42. Okay, this is Jesus praying now. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before His crucifixion. Father, if You are willing to take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. Picture this. Jesus, understanding what He was going to go through, the horror of it, the terror of it, He was sweating blood, and yet what was He the most concerned about? God's will, His Father's will. He put His aside. That's a perfect example of how important that is and how serious we need to take that. Okay, number two, He promises that we already possess what we have asked for. Okay, I think what He's getting for there, if we pray according to His will, we automatically are going to have what we're asking for. He promises that we know that we have the petitions that we desire. So when we pray according to His will, He hears us. We have what we ask for, and we know it. That clear? Think about it a little bit, but it's emphasizing strongly praying within the will of God. And if you pray within the will of God, God is always going to, His will is always to do what's best for us. And if that lines up with His will, He's going to give it to us. He loves us, promises that. So how do we know when our request is within keeping of God's will? Good question, huh? I'm going to go put it up there. James 1, 5 through 8. Now, as Pastor likes to say, we all know who James is we're referring to here. That's Jesus' brother, right? And they used to refer to James as old camel knees because James spent so much time on his knees in prayer. James is a great book. James tells us, I better read here. James 1, 5 and 8. Okay. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Okay, so what James is saying, first of all, is we need to ask God what His will is. Part of a prayer. Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, through Your word, show me Your will. What is Your will for me? If we really take James' words seriously, we probably begin our prayers by asking God how we should pray about an issue. Okay, I think this is very important. Number one, seek the mind of God found in His word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that again comes back to something that I've really been dwelling on lately. It's really been pressed on me, and that's a close personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Neutrality is essential in finding God's will. listen to this now and see if it fits. It sure did with me. Sometimes we feel so strongly about something we can't get past our own will to find His will. We come to God convinced of what He should do. As we begin praying, we must be willing for Him to bring us into complete yieldlessness, so that at that point, our main concern is that the will of God be done. Tangled with that many times in my life. You're so sure of something, and you just can't understand why God would ever not agree to that. Okay, let's read 2 Peter 1 through 4. Okay, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. Okay, so what's Peter telling us? Peter tells us we should ask God for His divine power to help us when we pray. Again, Holy Spirit, the power of God, call upon the Holy Spirit, call upon the power of God. Gives us so many gifts, doesn't He? Ask Him to give us focus and discernment. You have trouble sometimes staying focused when you're praying? It's easy to drift off, isn't it, sometimes? It's start going off on, like my brother Ben likes to say, a rabbit trail. But we need to stay focused on what the Lord wants us to be praying about. Discernment. We all know that word. You could almost preach a sermon on the word discernment, but we need a lot of help in discernment, especially these days in the world we live in. God's power of the Spirit telling us what's right, what's wrong. Okay. When our hearts are clean and we have committed ourselves to obey Him, the more we pray, the easier it will be to discern the voice of God, and the easier it will be to know His will. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that God will give us exactly what we ask for every time. And the old saying, sometimes we're lucky He doesn't give us that. Okay. God is sovereign. He has a right to answer according to His infinite wisdom. And He'll always do that with us, our own best interests in mind. He'll never let us down with that. In Luke 11, we read how the teaching of Jesus inspires prayers. He is sharing several principles on prayer. So let's read Luke 11, 5 through 13. Okay, Luke 11, 5 through 13. Okay. Then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because of a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Okay. Did I go far enough? No. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay. So, in verse 5 and 8, Jesus was teaching his disciples to persevere. You can't give up. In verse 9 and 10, he promised that their prayers would be heard and answered. In verse 11 through 13, he explained the sincere interest the Heavenly Father took in the prayers of his children. And he not only loves to talk for us to talk to him through his prayer, but he takes a sincere interest in those prayers. And as we know, through our faith and trust, he will answer our prayers. He hears them and he will answer. Okay, Jesus was urging boldness in prayer and gave assurance that God answers prayer. He emphasized, in other words, how to pray, not what to pray. There are 100 well-known prayers in the Bible. We can read and study these examples to teach us to pray and to use Bible verses that relate to our situation. Again, Psalm 86 is one good example, but I'm sure probably some of you have had it happen over the years like I have. That situation has arose, you turn to your scripture for answers and you open it up and there it is. It's crazy, but that does happen sometimes. But all the answers that we need for our situation in this life that we live, they're in here. They are in here, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to study his word. This is God's not yelling it at us, but he's talking to us through his word and his spirit. Another thing that's so important in our prayer life is learning to listen to God. How many times is your prayer life a one-sided conversation? It can't be a one-sided conversation. We need to pause and listen for his answer to us. You all heard the word meditate? Everybody familiar with meditate? Meditate is quiet contemplation of spiritual truths. Sometimes that can be one of our most difficult things. Our shortfalls is we're in too big of a hurry. We say our prayer and go our way. God talks to us, you know. Sometimes he answers right away, sometimes later. But if you think about it, how did you become born again Christian? What instigated that? How did that happen? It was the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit talked to us. That's a number one example of how God talks to us. But it doesn't stop there. It continues all the way through, so in our prayer lives. So it can be difficult sometimes, but here in Arizona now, especially this time of the year, if you get up early, it can be very meditating, so to speak, to sit outside just to get out from being inside a cooped up building, pray, and just listen. Listen for God. Let him talk to you. Okay. And I was looking through some things, and funny, she laughed when I found it. I'd forgotten all about it. How many here know or understand or have heard of the Acts Prayer? The Acts Prayer. Well, I read it, and it really fit close with this. It isn't a prayer in Acts. What it is it's a prayer based on the letters in the word Acts. And the first letter, A, stands for adoration. Praise God for who he is. Psalms 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. C stands for confession. Confess your sins to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, pure heart. The T is for thanksgiving. Thank God for all he's done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. We were talking about that a little bit about that on Wednesday night. And a lot of us struggle, some probably more than others. But I remember when I was growing up and something difficult would happen in your life and you'd say, I'm supposed to be joyous in this. But as we study and become closer to our Lord and develop that relationship, we understand exactly what he's talking about because of the blessings that can come from those situations. That's what it's all about. So, okay, and S is for supplication. Request God's help for yourself and others. And Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Knowing who God is enables us to trust him through the crisis of a life because he is faithful. It is healthy to develop a personal relationship with the living Christ. Remain near to Jesus through faithful prayer and meditation. God is overjoyed when we trust him. Knowing who God is enables us to trust him when we come to him in prayer. Again, emphasizing this personal relationship with God. We need to have strong faith and we need to trust him. Without a doubt, trust him. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, some of the God and the good news and his blessings that he gives us. God is sovereign. God's power and governance is so intense and so intensive that it is nothing whatsoever that takes place apart from his path and rule, even including the free actions of human beings. That comes from Ephesians 1:11. God's character is holy love. He is pure, righteous, and just. Let's read from John 14:21. John 14. I think I'm back up here a ways. John 14:21 says, I got so many marks in here, I can't tell which is which. 14. John 14:21. There it is. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Okay. Be obedient. By obedience we show we love him. He will show himself to us. Let's talk a little bit about some of the gifts that we so often take for granted that come from God. God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's victory over death by his Son Jesus, his promises, his faithfulness, his Holy Spirit and power, his word and his gift of prayer, and to be a part of his great family. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? God is a great God. What an honor to be chosen by him and to spend eternity with him. Remember, God never gives up on us. Let's never give up on him in our prayer life. We need to listen, trust, obey, and always seek the will of God. Just a little thought I wrote down. I get those once in a while. Sometimes I share them. Sometimes I probably shouldn't, but pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things, but above all, pray. I hope this has been a blessing to you. So let's close in prayer.